Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.
This podcast is brought to you by AcapiMatch. AcapiMatch is a boutique matchmaking service that helps exceptional singles find meaningful connections and relationships. To learn more about our matchmaking services, online dating makeovers and takeovers, or to enroll in an upcoming group coaching intensive, go to AcapiMatch.com. Welcome to Ask a Matchmaker podcast. I'm your host, Matchmaker Maria. For over a decade, I have combined four generations of family matchmaking tradition with the modern relationship psychology, behavioral science, and dating trends. With this unique expertise, I answer your dating and relationship questions on the podcast and online. If you're not already following me, weird, but also find me on Instagram. I'm at Matchmaker Maria. In today's episode, I am speaking with Rachel D'Alto. Rachel is a relationship expert, coach, a media personality, and speaker. She has appeared as a relationship expert on Lifetime's Married at First Sight and TLC's Kate and Date. Rachel has also been featured on a multitude of media outlets, including The Today Show, Access Hollywood, and Fox News. Rachel is having a fantastic week. Her newest book, Relatable, How to Connect with Anyone, Anywhere, Even if It Scares You, was just released by Simon & Schuster's Tillers Press last week and can be found at your local independent bookstore and wherever else books are sold. I will make sure to include a link in the episode notes for you to purchase as you're listening to this episode. Rachel, welcome to the Ask a Matchmaker podcast.
What's up?
I just want to say
75,000 years.
It has been 75,000 years. Plus there's a pandemic in there, so it might as well be like 100,000.
Yeah, you know, I don't even count years. Those. That's my gap year.
I was there for your first book.
You were, which I like treat like my bastard stepchild, and I should not. I should love it the same.
We worked so hard for that book. I remember there were tables out at these like pop-up festivals.
Yeah.
We were promoting you as like the flirt expert. And now, you know, now we got another book, a big book.
Next level. Yeah.
Next level book. Weird. And I am genuinely happy, genuinely proud of you, generally, like just everything positive. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll start about how we met, first of all, because I think it does relate to your book. Ooh, pun right there. So I feel like you and I started in the dating industry, because you used to be in the dating industry.
Yeah.
And you still,
and technically,
obviously,
I still am.
You still are, yeah. Of course. But we started the dating industry around the same time. And I think one of the things that both you and I agreed with at that time, well, we agreed with many things, but I think our approach to networking was similar, which was become friends in your industry with people that are not only just starting out, but people who are also, you know, weathered. And also become friends with people that are not in your industry, but are also starting out. That way, their losses are your lessons and their wins are also your wins because there's lessons.
Yeah, I think we both studied really well without actually, you know, there wasn't pen to paper study, but it was just observation. And there was so much room for growth in just every area. So I think, you know, and both of us have an eye for opportunity of, okay, how can I make this better? How can I do better? And I think that was always really interesting.
And I guess this goes into what I want to talk to you about today is, you know, with your book, how do we create a network that matters? Not only just, you know, extending your network for your career, but even for your interpersonal relationships and even romantic relationships.
Yeah. And honestly, Relatable was written for all of those things. And my foot is definitely still in the dating side of things. I still work with Match as their chief dating expert. So I'm very much still entrenched in dating. But I also believe in the power of connection so much beyond, you know, that typical where people think of it in terms of romantic relationships, because your relationships are everything. And I hear it all the time, but, you know, everybody talks about relationships like, you know, I'm building a relationship with this person. I'm like, but are you? And what are you actually doing? And how are you really nurturing it? And does it have the stability and the foundation to be significant for you? Because otherwise, you're just wasting your energy. You know, right. Either you got to be all in or you might as well be all out. So
let's talk about your book. The book is Relatable, How to Connect with Anyone, Anywhere, Even if it Scares You. You know, immediately, you know, I see the word relatable. What exactly is relatability?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one that I asked myself. So the entire concept for it started when I left Married at First Sight, and I was getting all these messages from viewers that were saying, why are you leaving? Oh, my gosh, you're the most relatable expert. And I was like, I know what that means from a, you know, Webster's dictionary term of saying it. But what does that mean? And why do these people feel so connected to me when I'm nowhere near them? I'm behind a screen. I'm not even having a two-way conversation. And so I started to think about what is relatability and why is it so impactful and why are they using that word? And I don't believe in research studies of one. So, you know, I'm not a case study and now I'm going to rest my laurels on it, but went out and really looked at, okay, who do I consider to be relatable? And then what's the through line? And so the through line to me was, this is somebody that you want to invest in. This is somebody you want to spend time with. It's someone that you want to sit down and have a beer or a cup of coffee. This isn't just likable, because I think we can like a lot of people, but relatability is, I want to invest my energy in you, which is to me a next level of that kind of spectrum.
As you're speaking, I'm thinking about how I feel like relatability can sometimes also be a poison. And let me give you an example. This last week, I don't know the Kardashian names. Was it, who's the one that's pregnant? Kendall?
I honestly Kylie? Have no idea. I know it's one of the Ks. I think it's one of the Ks. No, it's definitely
aren't they
the
all Ks?
I'm like, Oh my gosh. I said that out loud, but I'm thinking like the little girl Ks. not the big girl Ks.
The makeup one, not the model one. Anyway, that Kardashian.
That's Kylie.
Okay, one of the Kardashians is pregnant, right?
We're really
right?
good at this.
Yes, and I've never watched the show. But
Same.
But one of the Ks is pregnant, and I saw how everyone just kind of rallied behind her. And, like, you know, even which we have to talk about influencers and relatability after this, but I saw how people kind of, you know, rallied behind her. And that same exact day, Olivia Munn announces that she's pregnant with John Mulaney's baby. And that reaction was so toxic from his own followers and audience members. And I feel like it's, you know, I don't think the Kardashians are that relatable, right? There's this major facade that's, you see the production, right? But John Mulaney's entire shtick is relatability. And you know, like, I don't know if you saw his last special where he talks about like student loans. Like, I was there and I remember laughing so hard that I had to watch the Netflix special just to actually listen to the rest of the jokes that were missed.
See what you missed.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you came this relatable. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, now I'm having a baby. And it's just, I just thought it was like, oh, I think his relatability kind of turned itself upside down. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'll have to, I didn't see the announcement or the reaction to it, but I think sometimes when people feel like they are that connected to you, they think that they have some sort of investment in you. And it, just like any relationship, apparently they have opinions about it. So yeah. I'd have to dive deeper into that. But I'm sure there's, I think anytime that you have that level of familiarity with someone, especially when it's not a one-on-one relationship and this is something from behind a screen, it could, because even with the people on Married at First Sight, it was, they did feel like they knew you or they had a right to you or a right to, you know, reach out to you and criticize you or criticize what you say or what you're wearing and all of these things. So I think there is a level of relatability, when you are relatable, someone feels like they have access, and you have to protect that access too, and make sure that the people you're inviting in and take up that space, especially in your head, are invited.
So I guess that begs the question then, like, you know, we have some influencers online right now. I don't know if they're necessarily relatable, there's like a relatability level, but I feel like some influencers have become so popular because maybe they give advice, or maybe they give, I don't know, what's the right word? Like, I feel like sometimes like a dream sequence, like they're living a dream life,
like
that
aspirational.
Yes. Aspirational. Yeah. Thank you. See, we're good at this. and what do you think about that kind of like aspirational relatability?
Yeah, I think anyone can be relatable, and you can be both aspirational and relatable, but I don't think they're always connected. I think oftentimes, and I've seen this with the rise of certain influencers, they are definitely not relatable, but they're not trying to be. And if you own that, then that's fine. They're not looking to connect. They're just looking to portray. But there are some influencers, I think, that do get it. People out there that do understand it and are looking to make that human connection. Because, and I say this all the time, anytime I'm talking about anything marketing or sales or branding, just in conversations, and people talk about how we're buying humans, which actually sounds really bad, but we're connecting with and we're buying from humans, and we're not buying from corporations. And so that's also why influencer marketing became so enormous, because it allows corporations to put a face with it so that someone can relate to it, so someone can feel something attached to it. So it's a slippery slope, because there's obviously a lot of there's a lot of power that can come from those positions, but I've seen some do it really well, and I've met some that have done it really well and are just awesome people. And then there's some that they're not, they're definitely not trying to be relatable at all.
Do you think you need to be relatable to establish new networks, or networks that can help you in the relationships you want to build?
Oh my gosh, yes. I think anytime that you are looking to expand your circle, anytime that you're looking to expand beyond party of one, relatability is a key element of, and it's not to say that you can't connect with people without it. It's not to say that you can't meet people without it. It's just, it creates an element of, there's a strength in that relationship when you are coming from a relatable place. And, you know, for me, it's relatability is broken down into these pillars of connection, communication, inspiration. And when you have that behind you, then whether you're trying to build a network of your peers within your professional setting, or if it's friendship is an enormous problem right now. I think there's a loneliness pandemic that is parallel to COVID, and unfortunately COVID made it worse. So anytime that you're looking to expand beyond that, the more relatable you can be, the more that you're able to make those connections, and powerful connections, ones that last and become really beneficial, mutually beneficial. This isn't like a one-sided, like, what can I get out of this person? This is right. Mutual beneficial.
Are there certain things that, let's say certain keys to becoming more relatable when trying to do this?
Yeah. And I make fun of myself, because as a speaker, oftentimes speakers get things like, you know, they have acronyms. They love their acronyms. And if you ever saw someone, you know, went to a motivational speak, they're like, it's STAR, and STAR stands for success. And, you know, I can't even think, you know what I mean? On mine, I couldn't come up with a good acronym. So I have KAKAI, which sounds like a dying crow.
You sound like the sixth character from Arrested Development doing the chicken.
Right? Yeah. I mean, there might have been one time where I said it and I was like, oh my gosh, you cannot say it like the dying chicken. But yeah, so it's KAKAI, which is connect, communicate, inspire. And it's these three pillars that I just saw coincided with what I viewed to be the most powerful elements of relatability, and ones that people could kind of grasp and say, oh, I can do that. Because I think if we just talk about it and we inspire people to think about it, well, that's cool. But then what do they do with it? And where's the steps that they're taking? Because you and I both know from coaching people and from talking to people, they need to be told, like, okay, this is step one, and this is what we can do here, and this is what we can think about, and this is what we can implement.
What is a typical step one? What is a typical, like, I know what I say, but I would love to hear what you say. What's a typical step one for you?
Yeah, so I go into, so Connect is that first step, and they all kind of embrace, not kind of, it's like full on self-awareness is key. My favorite review of this book so far has been a mediocre one, but the guy was awesome because he goes, "This book seems to require a lot of self-reflection. I just don't have time for that right now." I was like, dude, that's the
how
best.
How many stars?
It was a 3.
That should be on the front cover. That should be right? A jacket. That's like second edition.
Oh my God. I had a friend sent it to me and they're like, "I can't believe they left that review. That's horrible." And I was like,
"That's genius.
Are you kidding me? That's amazing."
That's an amazing review right there.
Amazing.
That would make me buy it. Like that would, if I did not buy it already, that would make me buy it.
Right? I just thought it was awesome.
Give me homework. That's what I want from a book. Homework.
Yeah. So he was just like, "I don't have time for this." But yeah, so that first step is that self-awareness and there's so many different elements and each chapter comes with those pragmatic steps, but you know, starting off with authenticity is really identifying how disconnected we are from our true selves and how often we find ourselves wanting to mask who we are and then figuring out why. Because all of those play into why our confidence dips, why our relationships don't work. And something I say all the time is, how can someone truly like you or love you if they don't actually know you? Because you've been putting on these masks, you've been putting on these filters. I mean, listen, I say this all the time. I love me a good filter. I mean, there is nothing better than being like, "Oh my gosh, I went from like rat face to beautifully airbrushed. That's awesome." But you can't show up in life like that. You can't show up pretending to be somebody you're not because you're going to be found out. It's going to be disconnect. So that's kind of that first step is really analyzing, how am I showing up? How can I do it differently? Yeah, it's all that authenticity. And every time I say the word, I'm like, I know people talk about it all the time, but it's so important. And it's absolutely the cornerstone of everything.
Right. And then so that's Connect.
Yep. And then we go into Communicate, which is, people talk about communication all the time, but for me, it really is so far beyond semantics. Not that I don't talk about semantics, but communication is energetic. It's how we show up. I talk about one of my favorite stories that I kept in the book was Mr. Rogers when he went on Oprah. I don't know if you've read this story or heard this story before. It's awesome. So Mr. Rogers, height of Mr. Rogers. By the way, I told this story at a college a couple weeks ago in Texas, and I had blank stares. No one knew who Mr. Rogers was. I've never felt more old. Yeah. And then I'm like, "Do you guys know who Oprah is?"
Do they?
They did. And okay. I was like, okay, all right, at least we have somewhere here. So Mr. Rogers, Chicago, like the height of Mr. Rogers, height of Oprah. So it's like 1985-86. They're like, dude, I wasn't even thought of back then. Yeah. And so Mr. Rogers gets booked on Oprah and Oprah's producers do the pre-interview stuff. And Mr. Rogers says, "You can't have kids in the audience. Absolutely no children." And that's what his team said. And they said, okay. So they brought him in and TV does what TV does and fills the audience with children and families. And then starts
I already know. I haven't seen this, but I already know the issue. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh my gosh. So the kids are in the audience. Oprah and Mr. Rogers are talking. All of a sudden they decide to have one of the children ask a question. And instead of grabbing the mic, the little girl runs towards Mr. Rogers. He stops the interview. All he does is focus on that child. He gives the child a hug. He talks to her for like 10 minutes, which in TV land is probably $50,000, even back in the 80s. And then some other little boy runs up and he's worried about the train that's going to fall off the tracks. And so he completely ignored Oprah, completely focused on the kids, and just found them to be more important because that was who he cared about. Like that was his intention. And so communication, it's a long way of saying it's giving that level of focus to someone. It's ignoring Oprah or ignoring your notifications to allow someone to feel that important.
Yeah. And you know, it's also, I feel like he may have also done that it has nothing to do with Oprah. I think it also has to do with like not traumatizing the child. Like, you know, imagine like my son is so obsessed with Britney Spears right now that he'll make me record videos of him dancing. And he's like, "Can you send it to Britney Spears? Like, can you just text it to her?" And he'll be like, "What did she say?" And now I've created this like situation where I'm like, "Oh my God, she loved it." And it's like, okay, if he meets Britney Spears one day,
she'll probably just listening,
Britney, if you're listening, if you see a dark blonde child named Yanni one day, please tell him you love his dancing videos.
Oh my gosh, that's
but
awesome.
So to go back to Mr. Rogers, you know, I think he's also trying to mitigate trauma. You know, these are children who have that one-sided relationship with him. Well, he has a one-sided relationship with them, rather. They don't know that. They think that this... I see how my son talks to the TV when there's Sesame Street on. Like, he thinks that this is happening to him.
Yeah.
And I think that level of communication is... It's highly personalized, not only to the environment around, but even to, you know, the age group that you're looking for.
Yeah. He cares that much though. And I think that was something that you could just feel and see. And I don't know that many of us reach that level, and maybe, you know, that's an unrealistic goal, but I'm going to make it a goal. I'm going to make that my goal, that I want Mr. Rogers level care for the people that I want to connect with. And that's who he wanted to connect with. So I just feel like communication to me is so far beyond the words that we choose, obviously important, but it's far more in the way that we show up. It's how we show up. It's how we communicate through our eyes, our body language, everything around that. So that's really where that second pillar comes in.
And then it's inspire, you said, is the last one?
Yeah.
Kakai.
See, at the end of the day, people remember it, which is kind of awesome.
I will always remember this. That's it. I mean, people will. Yeah, go ahead. So what they is might inspire?
Sound like dying crows.
Is inspire about like the call to action, or?
It's more so, I call it the then what. So you've met this person, you're looking to make these connections, you get those followers if this is an online thing, but then what? You know, what is your purpose behind this? And, you know, Simon Sinek does the why, and there's another, I just listened to a podcast and someone was talking about the because. And for me, it's that then what? It's like, okay, what does this mean? And it doesn't have to always be the same thing. Your intentions can change, but we all know people and we feel it when they have something bigger than themselves that inspires them, and it draws people in and it creates the spark. It's the same thing as if, you know, I was talking to a casting producer the other day and I said, it's like that star quality. But when you're connecting with people, it's, you can see that light behind their eyes. And it's not only really amazing for being relatable and connecting with people because you're drawing them in at the same time, it's also a protective mechanism. I was reading a study that just came out. Unfortunately, I couldn't put it in the book because I find it so freaking impactful, is people with purpose aren't as affected emotionally by negativity online. They're not affected as emotionally by dealing with the likes or the comments, whatever those, you know, those markers are on social media. People who had a purpose attached to them reacted differently. And I think we react differently in every area when we have something else behind us, something else within us, other than I'm focusing on this superficial element of life.
So one of the things that I get asked the most, like, so, okay, let me take a step back for a second. I don't know how much, I know you have your own life too. I don't know how much you follow my Instagram, but like, it's always like, you know, Ask a Matchmaker Wednesdays. I have a nice little community, all that stuff, right? Somebody recently asked me, if you were single right now, what would you do? And I mentioned I would do what I did when I was single. In fact, I did some of this with you, where I would pick 2 days a week where I was like, these are my social days, so I have to go to an event, whatever it is, and go out. And the way I described it, I got a lot of introverts who were like, you just described my nightmare, thank you. And what do you say to someone? Like, I know what I would say, but I want to hear, you know, I think you're such an expert in this. I definitely want to learn from you. What do you say to someone who is an introvert, who the thought of, to establish networks, because that's just something you have to do, and be relatable and do the connect, communicate, inspire, just gives them hives.
Yeah.
I mean, I think even extroverts could experience this social anxiety, right? So what would you say to these people?
One is that you're not alone. In fact, you have a lot of comrades out there. There are so many people, from social anxiety to introversion. There are so many people that are far more like you than unlike you. Because I think that's a big thing for many people who have any sort of anxiety around this. they think they're by themselves. They think they're the weird ones. And then that just kind of exacerbates any sort of the challenges. So I think the first step is recognition and self-acceptance, which might take a minute. And then the second is baby step this. I am not a big fan of throwing people in the deep end. That's actually how I was taught to swim. I still drive by the swim school that I was thrown in the deep end of, and I still resent them and freak out. Not as much as I did when I was like 6 years old. My mom honestly could not drive down the street. We'd start to cry. My brother and I were both sent to the same swim school. Still open, still local. And we'd freak out because we just were traumatized by this experience. And so I'm not looking to traumatize people. I'm looking to show them how to do it step by step so that they feel comfortable. And the other thing is if you feel a traumatic attachment to something, you're going to stop. If it feels too scary, it feels like it's going to hurt you physically, emotionally, whatever it is, you're going to stop it. Your body and mind will shut you down. But if you prove your brain wrong step by step, you can start to rewire it. And that's something that I think people don't give enough credit to, proving your brain wrong. Take that first step. Do something so minor, but it's on that spectrum of, I want to get to a point where I can do a networking event twice a week. Start with a conversation with one person. Start with a conversation with somebody you don't know online. You know, reach out to somebody that you're not connecting with on Instagram or LinkedIn or wherever it is that you're looking to make these connections, and start to have that conversation. Start at the beginning step, and then take it to the next one, and then the next one. Because the more that you prove your brain wrong, the more that comfortable you're going to go into that next stage with, and the more successful you will be. You have to set people up for success, because otherwise it's going to set them back.
You know, I'm obviously, you know, I'm very extroverted. And I remember when I started going to events by myself, how traumatic that could be. And, you know, just giving myself a really simple goal of like, look, all you have to do is talk to two people. Once you talk to two people, if you're not enjoying yourself, you can leave. And then what I would do is remind myself that like every single person here is also suffering from anxiety. All you have to do is just say hi to someone. They all want you to say hi to them. Like every single person you've ever been to an event, they're all just dying for someone to talk to them. So just all I have to say is like, hi.
Yeah.
How did you hear about this event?
It's so true. And that's such a perfect goal to attach to it, because I think also once you go in there with some intention, then there's a directive. And I feel the same way. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to an event or a conference and I don't know anybody and it feels really awkward for me. And then I start to think about the people that I talk to with anxiety around this because I don't have it. And it's still one of those moments where I feel like I'm being picked for a dodgeball team all over again. I was always last. So that was
this
fun.
This is so surprising to me, because I feel like if anyone meets you, it's like, no, you have to pick Rachel. Rachel's got all the grit. Like,
yeah, I don't tell, have the athleticism, from, like, right though.
I don't know. Anyway, Rachel, it was so nice having you on Ask a Matchmaker. Where can people find you?
I am Rachel D'Alto everywhere.
I'll include those links in the episode notes for people to find you on Twitter, Instagram. And I believe you're also pretty active on LinkedIn, right?
LinkedIn, TikTok, all those.
Oh yeah, that's right. TikTok, yeah.
I love TikTok.
Hey, I love TikTok too. I really enjoy it. One last thing. You're the chief dating expert at Match.
I am.
So is there one hot tip you can give us for people that are on using Match right now?
You know what? The one thing I always say to people is that you got to stay updated. And we've talked about this before, and this is probably not a hot tip, but I think so often we just let things get stale and it is time to update that stuff. I see so many profiles where people are still talking about quarantine. I'm like, we're past that. We're in the second round of this. So get on there, get updated, and stop posting pictures of like all your travel stuff, because that might be from like 3 years ago.
That is a good hot take. Rachel D'Alto, thank you for coming to Ask a Matchmaker podcast. Her book, Relatable, How to Connect with Anyone, Anywhere, Even If It Scares You, was released last week by Simon & Schuster's Tiller Press, and it can be found at your local independent bookstore and wherever else books are sold. I'll include a link in the episode notes where you can purchase the book, but you can also follow Rachel on all the social media links I include in the episode notes as well. Again, thanks, Rachel, for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Ask a Matchmaker. As I mentioned previously, if you'd like to speak to me on an upcoming hotline episode, follow me on Instagram at Matchmaker Maria. I'll post a link on Wednesdays and we'll chat then. Until then, you can learn more about what I do or enroll in an upcoming Agape intensive by visiting agapematch.com/services. Thank you again for listening to Ask a Matchmaker. Be lovable and, more importantly, be likable and relatable. See you next week.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.